Hey, cowboy, this is good.
Hey, welcome to Space Gab. This is Mike Coletta. It's the 21st of November, 2022. Space Gab can be heard at www.spacegabpodcast.com. And from there, you have a number of selections you can make to listen to the episodes. Well, 2 days after the previous podcast, Space Launch System Artemis 1 mission with Orion spacecraft lifted off. There was a little bit of an issue. There was a leak while they were fueling the rockets, but they sent the red team. They called them the red team. And I think it was like four individuals, technicians, that went out there to a fueled rocket. And they had to take a lot of precautions for sure. And I guess it just took some brute force, apparently, and they wrenched down some of the valves, some of the nuts that held the valves and different nuts that needed to be tightened up. And apparently it worked because the rocket lifted off. And there, so many people have been watching this. It's so awesome to see NASA back and going to the moon. And so much has been happening with this, the following of this rocket going toward the moon. And actually, it already has passed the moon. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But on the 16th, it launched. And tracking, they've been tracking. Remember I talked to you about in previous podcasts how they selected a number of organizations and some amateurs also, radio astronomers. People that listen to radio frequencies from outer space of either things that are happening way in deep space or objects that are in orbit, around, in low Earth orbit and beyond. Well, in this case, we've been following a number of individuals that have been tracking the signals coming from the Orion spacecraft. Pretty interesting. Hey, anything I'm talking about today and in the past and in the future can be followed and read on. You can read the entire articles at my Twitter feed, and that's twitter.com/Mike_Coletta, MIKE_COLETTA. And you can read the entire articles I'm kind of talking about as I'm going along on the Space Gap podcast. But I've got links there to a number of tweets that I share. The different astronomers, radio astronomers, the radio dishes, the deep space dishes that are tracking, the amateur astronomers that are tracking, and you can watch and hear the signals coming from the Orion spacecraft as it made its way to the moon. And today, we got to watch live the Orion spacecraft going around the moon, on the far side of the moon, on the back side of the moon, and then reappearing, firing the rockets, and doing what they do along the way. So I guess now it's on a trajectory where it's going to be doing some additional experiments and tests in a certain orbit it's going to get into. But it has passed. It made its closest flyby of the moon earlier today. And I think it was like 80, 81 miles from the surface. But I did put I made a little GIF that shows that as the moon's coming in close, as it's coming in close to the moon, you could actually see planet Earth in the background, in the distance. And you've got the spacecraft on the left. You've got planet Earth in the middle, a little tiny little globe. And yes, it's a globe. It's round. It's not flat. It's not flat. It's not a flat Earth. But and then you can see the moon to the right as it gets larger. And then the GIF, you know, it's not a long, it's only about like 10, 15 seconds. I sped it up. But you could have watched, and you can still watch, the approach on the NASA Live channel, I think on YouTube and elsewhere. But really cool watching the Orion spacecraft approach the moon and then go behind it. And then also, one of the deep space dishes tracked the radio signal pointed toward the moon as Orion's signal disappeared got weaker and disappeared as it was behind the moon. And then you could see the noise and all this on the screen. I did put a tweet on there, a retweet of what they sent out. And then you can see the signal come back and appear again, get reacquired. Really, really cool stuff. But go check that out. But so much has happened. I'm not really going to get into the Orion mission because it's still doing a lot, and it has done a lot. You can go research the Space Launch System and Artemis 1 mission with the spacecraft Orion now. There's all kinds of stuff out there on social media, on videos, everything. But I just wanted to let you know the highlights. But yeah, it's on its trajectory back around the moon, and it's going to be doing some testing. Also, just to talk about some of the CubeSats that were released via the Artemis 1 mission. Some of those CubeSats still haven't been heard, and they may never be heard. But we talked about that on previous podcasts, about how they had problems because of all the delays of the launch and the battery charging, and you know, they kept dipping down to a low state. And then when they brought the SLS back to the Vehicle Assembly Building, and they had to do some work because of, after the first scrub, they did charge certain things. They changed the flight termination system battery. They changed that because that was also out of the date codes were gone. You know, it's already passed. It's surpassed its shelf life, so to say, and they had to replace that. Also, they tried to charge the CubeSats that were able. They were able to charge. Some weren't. Some didn't have access without actually taking them out of the spacecraft. They couldn't do that. So I'm guessing that's probably maybe some of the CubeSats that are still not heard from. They should have been heard already. And I guess they're reporting that some of the CubeSats aren't being heard. And some of those solar cells, solar arrays that were supposed to deploy on some of those CubeSats to, you know, charge up their batteries, maybe something happened. We don't know. I do have some retweets about some of those CubeSats on the Twitter feed also. You can read about some of the CubeSats. Just recently, some of the CubeSats that weren't being heard, they mentioned those. So that's most of the recent stuff I put out there. But yeah, Artemis 1 mission, so far a success, except maybe for the CubeSats and other things we'll hear about when it gets back. But did its flyby of the moon today? And now it's on a new trajectory. So go check it out. There's going to be more happening. And Artemis, this is a big conversation piece all over the world. Really good that NASA is back in the game again at this level. So, yeah, go check out the Twitter feed, twitter.com/Mike_Coletta for more detailed articles on what I'm just talking about and what I will be talking about. And I talked a little bit about some of the tests going to be done. I'm not going to go into a lot of the tests, but like I said, you could read more about it for the Artemis mission, Artemis 1 mission. But Callisto has been activated. Engineers have activated Callisto, a technology demonstration payload aboard the Orion spacecraft developed by Lockheed Martin, Amazon, and Cisco. And this will be testing a digital voice assistant and video conferencing capabilities in a deep space environment. So I've got an article about Callisto there on the page. I'm going to be talking about the more recent stuff now and then go backwards in time. More recent stuff. I wanted to talk about the SLS launch right off the bat because that's such a big thing. But now, just kind of like I said, this Callisto, that's just been tweeted out a little while ago. So this is current stuff. Now some more current stuff. SpaceX Cargo Dragon is preparing for liftoff tomorrow. They're going to be bringing a resupply mission up to the International Space Station, if all goes well. And they do have another launch later today, another satellite launch. Falcon 9 will be launching another satellite. So you'll be seeing, hopefully, a launch of a Falcon 9 rocket today and a launch of a Falcon 9 rocket tomorrow. So hope all goes well on those two launches. And like I was talking about earlier, the signals coming from Orion. Scott Tilley, he's at Coastal 8049 on Twitter. And he sent out that he has once again acquired a big carrier signal from the Artemis 1, from the Orion spacecraft. So he's one of the amateur operators. Not really amateur, because Scott Tilley, I talked about him last week a little bit. There's nothing amateur about his capabilities, I'll tell you that. He knows what he's doing, and that's why NASA selected him as one of the two amateur radio astronomers to follow this mission. And he's been keeping people updated, and I've been putting quite a few of his tweets as retweets on my Twitter feed. So really, really fun to watch his stuff, and he's very thorough. But yeah, he's acquired another big carrier signal now that the Orion spacecraft has come out from the outside on the backside of the moon. Well, a little bit about the James Webb Space Telescope, JWST. In the past, it's been a while ago that I talked about how some people were complaining about the name of the James Webb Space Telescope. They were saying that James Webb, who they named the telescope after, had some things that he had done, apparently. They accused him of firing some people for sexual orientation, I guess. But now, and at the time when they answered those accusations, I guess I was surprised, because a lot of astronomers, I guess, jumped on the bandwagon to have the name changed. I didn't realize how many people were behind this. Well, apparently, and I do have a very detailed article from Space News on the website here, a retweet. And I say here, it says, James Webb Space Telescope beats cancel culture. That's right, I'm calling it the cancel culture, because they tried to cancel his name from being placed on a telescope. Now, a new report. I guess NASA, they had historians and others go back and research, and they came up with an 80-something page report to provide to these cancel culture group, or if it was a group or individuals or what. But that's what the name is called for a lot of people. They call it the cancel culture, as they're trying, if they don't like something, they go after you in force, pretty much. It's pretty obvious out there that, you know, this is going on. And this is the fact. This is the fact. It's a cancel culture. I'm reading some books about it right now, some people that were canceled via the cancel culture. And I'll tell you a short little story here after I finish this, which really surprised me. But this new report was put together and submitted, so those who were trying to cancel this James Webb name off of this space telescope, there was nothing found. There was no evidence found, bottom line. So I guess it was about, they were saying that he fired some LGBTQ plus employees. That was the claim. And that it sparked many others to, hey, change the name. And I'm guessing a lot, the many others probably had no clue what was or not wasn't out there. I'm guessing. And I'm pretty sure it's probably right. Because a lot of people, because they feel pressure, they will jump on the bandwagon with the cancel culture so they don't get canceled too. Folks, this is just a fact. You see it happening all over the place. It's happening. Well, in this case, it ain't happening. Okay? It's not happening. The James Webb Space Telescope is staying named the James Webb Space Telescope, and you can read the details in this report. 80-something pages they came out with. Now, I don't know about, I didn't know about this stuff going on. I'm not, I'm not part of this, the people who did research, but they did. NASA went out and did research. 80-something pages. So, that cost a pretty penny. I'll tell you that. But apparently, they said that he fired some people because, because of sexual orientation. But apparently they found no evidence. So it's going to remain James Webb Space Telescope. Now, in another cancel culture story, which surprised the heck out of me, I've been watching this show on, what is it, Netflix, Ancient Apocalypse, I guess it's called. And it's Graham Hancock is the guy's name. I used to hear him on Art Bell when Art Bell was still alive. And some of this stuff is interesting. I didn't really follow his stuff real close, but this Ancient Apocalypse looks kind of interesting. So a lot of people were talking about it on social media. And So I started watching the show. It was kind of interesting. They were basically, what I got out of it in the beginning was this Graham Hancock was going around and finding ancient civilizations and finding that there may have been more ancient civilizations that built on top of these ancient civilizations. And in some cases, it was right. They were finding civilizations below the ancient civilization, which were more ancient. And he was trying to see, you know, who are these others that are building way back when. So the timeline was shifting. And he actually had other people. He was talking with other people who would invest using their money to go back and dig these things up and research. And I guess what his problem was with archaeologists, he's saying that archaeologists, for the most part, didn't want to change their timeline. What they found, they found. And, case after case, each episode, he pretty much reiterated this. As you know, he says, well, and he was asking these other people who actually were looking at these ruins and diggings and this and that, and they were finding things below the ancient ruins and whatever, the artifacts that were above this stuff. So others were building on top of, you know, on top and on top of something else and on top of something else in some cases. So I saw I guess it was a PhD, some woman, and I'm not going to go into it. You can look at the Twitter feed if you want to read it. But I wrote to her because she was saying she was upset and others were upset that he's slamming archaeologists and this and that. And his bottom line is he's trying to say there was some kind of a comet that wiped out, you know, the world or a lot of the world, and this ancient, weird, advanced civilization, maybe from somewhere else. And, well, I haven't got to that portion yet. I haven't seen it yet. But I just wrote her. I said, hey, it sounds like to me, on Twitter, I wrote her, I said, it sounds like to me, you know, he's considering a lot of the archaeologists part of a cancel culture. They're trying to cancel them out. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, really interesting how many ruins and how many mounds and all that we have right here in the United States. You know, maybe sometimes they ought to focus on the mounds and the ruins we have here in the U.S. I didn't realize how many. And she wrote back, basically said, you know, trying to tell me what the cancel culture is about. The cancel culture is to hold people accountable, is pretty much what she said. So she said, yeah, cancel cultures are to hold people accountable. Well, you don't go along with them, the cancel culture, and they're going to hold you accountable. I guess accountable to what? For their way of thinking is what I got out of it. So I said, I go, wow, this is interesting. I never heard it termed like that. And then she used some terms, basically the terms they use if you don't go along. If you're not accountable, they start throwing these names out at you, which was, I just wrote back. I said, well, thanks for your time, but this is interesting how you actually, you know, you work at a university and you're a doctor at this university, professor, I guess, I'm guessing. And you're saying the cancel culture is to hold people accountable. Well, whatever. Okay, but I guess if that's the case, if that's what the cancel culture says, they want to hold you accountable. You know, whether in, well, I guess what it means is hold you accountable to their way of thinking, apparently. Well, actually, then the case is that the James Webb Space Telescope, they weren't held accountable because they went out and found fact, and it's going to be the James Webb Space Telescope. So another story. It's kind of weird after I'm reading all this. I'm reading the guys from the Duck Dynasty series of books. They got canceled out by the cancel culture too. So I know some people are going to be upset with me for talking about this cancel culture, but this James Webb Telescope thing, I'm glad they found no evidence to say that he fired people based on sexual preference, you know, I guess it was the LGBTQ+ community. But it was really something. So to admit that it was to hold people accountable, that was really surprising to get that in writing, because usually you don't see that. But I guess, oh well, you learn something every day. Anyway, so bottom line, James Webb, stay on James Webb. And I learned a few more things from some people, you know, what they think about this stuff. So hopefully this will kind of like ease off a little bit. I think people are getting kind of tired of it when you just throw out accusations. Now they're seeing, hey, sometimes NASA had the money and the manpower to go out there and research, and they did, and they found no evidence for the accusations. Maybe others will see, you know, they're finding it. You just throw out accusations, and people, you know, jump to it. in the case because of pressure, peer pressure, and scare tactics, basically. And it's good to see that NASA didn't cave to this. They did research, because you've got a lot of people that are loving this James Webb Space Telescope, these images that they're throwing back. You know, it wouldn't have been a shame if it was tarnished in somewhat, but right now there's no tarnish on the James Webb Space Telescope or the name of James Webb. There you go. In my humble opinion. Wow, it sounded like a rant, didn't it? I hope you don't take it as a rant. It surprised me about all this that's going on with this stuff. And I'm glad they found nothing, but I went on for what, it was like 8-9 minutes on that? Oh my gosh, sorry about that. But let's get back to space stuff again. Let's see. Last night, awesome viewing of the International Space Station. A very nice, long, bright pass. Really cool. And I made a GIF out of about 30-something frames, and I have it on there. It went over the pond here behind me. Really cool. Nice. We have a local meteorologist, Laura Mock, works for Fox 23, and she's I call her a meteorologist/space enthusiast, because she always gives updates on the space station passes and things that are going on in space, meteor showers, and shares the James Webb Space Telescope images. She always shares those images, the JWST telescope images, as a lot of people do. They're just intrigued by that. It's really cool. But so I've got a nice GIF, animated GIF of the space station going over yesterday. So that was fun to see. But I have a lot of things about the Orion here on the web, on my Twitter feed. But so there's quite a few things to look at if you'd like to check it out. But a lot of stuff. But they've been sharing a lot of the it's Earth fall behind the moon from an older 2007 Japanese lunar observer mission. I guess a lunar orbiter was thrown up there, launched by the Japanese Space Agency in Kaguya, I guess. But a lot of people, I was surprising. They were waiting in anticipation for the Orion spacecraft to pass by the moon. So they were sharing a lot of these moonscapes with the Earth passing by the moon. So it was kind of cool. So I did share a couple of things about that. Tiangong Space Station, China's Tiangong Space Station, they did share a nice video, high-definition video, of their last spacewalk. And I have that video linked on there also. So that's kind of cool. Really nice. The outside of the space station with Earth below and the astronauts doing their spacewalk there also. So that's kind of cool to look at too. Rocket Lab, their Electron rocket, went vertical for a wet dress rehearsal for an upcoming launch in December. So looks like they're still working. Someone caught them doing it. Not caught them, but I mean saw them doing it and did some long-range photographs of the rocket being pre-prepped to perform a wet dress rehearsal. So I do have those photographs linked on the Twitter feed. Also, I'll tell you what, there was a cool bolide fireball meteorite, whatever you want to call it, that occurred in Ontario, near Toronto. And so I first saw it about an hour after it had happened. And I saw they were talking about it, asking, hey, did you see this? Did you see that? And social media on Twitter, I was watching, was asking people, "Hey, did you see this? Did you hear it? I heard something too." Like boom, and then one lady found the meteor. She called it a shooting star on her ring cam, and she shared it. So I kind of took that video and blew it up a little bit so you could see it better, and made a GIF out of it, and then another video, and then sent it to her. Go, "Hey, I've worked on your video a little bit so you can see it a little bit clearer." And she thanked me and sent that out. And then others started looking, I guess, on their ring cams and found other cams all around the area. Wow, I'll tell you what, some beautiful shots of this bolide. And I do have it. That was on, let's see, the 19th of November when they were sharing a lot of this stuff. But yeah, I'll tell you, a lot of people caught this and they heard it too. So it was actually bigger than the one I had seen and I shared a couple months ago. And this one was beautiful, I'll tell you. So it's nice and green and just pristine. They had some great shots. Derek Bowen. He's got an awesome shot from Bradford, Ontario, Canada there. If you like, his Twitter handle is Derek Bowen. At Derek Bowen, DereckBowen, and he's got a beautiful, probably the best still shot. He got it on his GoCam, he said, but a beautiful, nice bolide. A lot of people didn't know what they're still calling it, shooting stars and stuff, but a lot of people saw this. It was neat that they did share so much. Some videos, some only got the flashes, the reflection off the ground and off other objects, off the building sides. But some people actually got the meteor coming through the atmosphere. So if you would like to go check that out, it's worth a check. Well, China's Shenzhou 15 crew, I guess they're going to be launching to their Tiangong space station, CSS, on November 29th. So that's been set. So... don't know. I didn't read this article. I don't know if I guess before they go up there, Shenzhou 14 crew will have to come down. Doesn't have to, but I guess maybe they will. So they're able to dock the Shenzhou 15 spacecraft up there. So yeah, November 29th. It says at approximately 15:05 UTC, they'll be launching Shenzhou 15 crew on a Long March 2F Y-15 rocket. So we'll check that out. So we'll have a brand new crew up there at the CSS. Well, nothing new. North Korea still launching ICBMs. Lots of ICBMs still going. I guess recently they launched a one they're saying can reach anywhere in the United States. This latest ICBM. And then they actually showed, and I do have links to these, they're sharing pictures. The state media shared pictures of Kim Jong-un attending the launch of that big ICBM that they say can reach anywhere in the U.S. So, yeah, lots of tests, lots of ICBM tests going on by North Korea. And you can see it all over the news. And I'm guessing... it's not. They're making sure they're making some kind of point. They want someone to know, you know, hey, look at this. And he's made a few statements, I guess, about that. Yeah, we'll probably be seeing some more testing, I'm guessing. China also shared a video of the Shenzhou 14 crew as they're setting up the Mingtian laboratory module at the CSS. You know, that was one of the last modules that they sent up there, and they are setting that laboratory module up, and you can see the video of them doing that. Like I said, Chinese space program shares a lot. They show us a lot, showing the world a lot, what they're doing, what they can do. But, yeah, so it's, like I said, space enthusiasts, it's anything to do with space. People like to watch this kind of stuff. So we watch it for one reason, and maybe like others will watch it for another reason. But enthusiasts watch it just for the pure joy of seeing things happening in space. I know not everybody is watching these kind of things with pure joy. So, but that's the fact. It's like I said in the past, they're sharing a lot of stuff about their space program. Well, India's first privately developed sounding rocket was a success. It says Skyroot has successfully launched India's first privately developed sounding rocket, Vikram-S, which achieved a peak altitude of 89.5 kilometers. And there is a video I have linked. That's from China and Asia Spaceflight shared this. And there is a link to the video of that launch if you'd like to see that. But yep, India's first privately developed sounding rocket. And earlier I talked about the sharing of the photo, the video of the outside of the Tiangong space station during a their third Shenzhou 14 crew, their successful third EVA. Also, a numerous spacewalks during this time frame have also occurred at the International Space Station by American and Russian astronauts / cosmonauts. So a lot of EVAs going on, a lot of spacewalks going on at the different space stations that are currently orbiting in low Earth orbit. Well, that's it. Until next time.
Space Cowboys.